I don't know if you were outside yesterday or not, but it was just delightful yesterday afternoon, 6:13 now. Going up to 85 today, 86, but the humidity is going to be down, so it's going to have a fall feel, and it really did yesterday. So if you can get out and enjoy that, man. Lows on the North Shore, 62 tonight, 70 South Shore. And as I was driving home last night, it was 85 degrees, but with the windows open, it felt like it was fall. It was really nice, sunny, dry, highs of 88 into next Thursday. There's an area of that could develop into some disturbed weather, and I get it all confused with whether it's the Caribbean or whatever it is down there, but it's nothing to worry about right now. Nothing's formed. Helene has made her way through Florida and is now wreaking havoc on Georgia, where we hope the Saints can wreak havoc on the Falcons on Sunday, taking on the Falcons in Atlanta. Our coverage starts at 8 a.m. First Take, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak. Time for the Houdat Nation to check in from your own tailgate party. Then at 10, you can join Bobby Hebert for the Bud Light Countdown and Kickoff. Game time, high noon. Turn down your TV, sync up Saints legend Deuce McAllister, as I call him, Deuce Stradamus, because he often predicts what happens before it does, and Mike Haas. Then after the game, sound off with the Ciroc Point After and a Cajun Cannon at Saints-Falcons. 10 hours of wall-to-wall coverage, 8 to 6 on Sunday here on WWL Live on the free Odyssey app. But, of course, we're going to get going right now with Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, and our good friend who joins us now. How you doing, Mike?
I'm fine, Tommy. Thank you.
I was watching a little bit of the Falcons-Chiefs game from Sunday night. And you know who stood out to me was Caden Ellis, I think, the linebacker we used to have. Tell me about him.
Yeah, Caden is a really good athlete. Man, I remember his dad, Luther, who played so many years in the NFL as a defensive lineman. And so, you know, he's got a new role there. And certainly, he was a pass rush guy here. And you saw it. The final year he was here, they used him off the edge quite a bit. And he gave him a really good edge rush. They moved him inside. And so they move him around a little bit in that defense for the Falcons, but he's a good football player, Tommy.
He seems like
long,
he roams,
lean athlete,
like he roams the field, and he's got a lot of speed. Mike gets from sideline to sideline pretty quickly.
Yeah, for a taller linebacker, he can generate that speed really well. And he runs well east-west very, very well. And so he knows what he's doing, and that's a big part of when you watch players. Do they know what to do all the time? The one thing with Caden Ellis, really smart guy, knows what to do, great instincts. Football's been a big part of his life since he was a little kid. And, when your dad's an NFL player for double-digit seasons, you sort of pick it up there. And so he's been a good player for them. And there's some familiar names there because up front, Grady Jarrett, whose dad worked in the area for some time, even though he went to Clemson. His dad was in the offshore business for a number of years. And certainly David Onyemata, who played, started out here with the Saints.
So when it comes to on the Falcons defense, I know they got a great set of safeties, pair of safeties. And I think in June they picked them up, or July or something like that, or whenever it was, May. We always talk about the straw that stirs the drink, or their guy. Who is it on the Falcons on defense that the Saints really need to be on the lookout for?
Jesse Bates. And, he was a pickup last year, high-priced free agent from the Cincinnati Bengals. He made a huge play a year ago as the Saints are driving. Man, Derek Carr never saw him. Threw the ball out there, pick six, runs it all the way back. But Jesse is terrific in run support, also a very good cover guy. And now you team him up along with Justin Simmons, who they picked up late in the process. They picked him up in the preseason part of things. He had visited the Saints, decided to go to Atlanta.
That's right. Now I know who that is.
Yeah, and so now you got those two guys kind of manning things in the back. Both are chirpers, or talkers, communication, and it's such a big part of the game. But Jesse Bates, man, is a really good football player, was in Cincinnati, and certainly the same way in Atlanta.
I was listening to Chris Collinsworth watching the game just halfway last night, and I heard the part about the safeties, and I realized that's who Justin Simmons was, and he didn't really talk about that. But now I get it. The light bulb suddenly went off.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin was a terrific player with the Broncos for many years. Sean Payton and crew decided, you know, financially, let's maybe go a little different direction because of the money. Mm-hmm. He took his time to make a decision, and it came down between the Saints and Atlanta, and, you know, he decided he would sign with Atlanta instead.
We're talking Mike DeTellier. If you've got any questions, comments, the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line always open, 504-260-1870, as we talk about the Saints-Falcons game coming up. Saints injury report, boy, they got a lot of people on it, but I don't know how that's going to affect Sunday, Mike. Alvin Kamara, limited practice. Cesar Ruiz did not practice. A.T. Perry didn't practice. You got Derek Carr with full practice and Taysom Hill practice, so I guess he's going to be in the game, you think, Taysom?
I think Taysom, and I'd be surprised if Alvin didn't play. Man, Alvin, I think, will answer the bell here. I think he'll play. You know, for Atlanta, they'll be without their starting center, Andrew Dolman, and most likely their starting right tackle in Caleb McGarry. The Saints, we know, will be without Eric McCoy, and most likely without their right offensive guard, Cesar Ruiz. So you got two teams now kind of shuffling offensive line play. And anytime you lose a center, and we've talked about this a number of times, mm-hmm. it's the communication part of a new center in there. And he makes the call initially. He tells the two guards tell the two tackles, and then there's adjustments to be made. And, man, you could say last week without Eric McCoy, it wasn't as smooth. Lucas Patrick's played that spot before, but that communication part drops off. And to be honest, Eric McCoy's a better player than Lucas Patrick. He's just – he was playing at a Pro Bowl level when he went down to the injury. So, and Drew Dolman's a really good center, a very good center for the Falcons, and they won't have him. And if McGarry doesn't play at right tackle, most likely it'll be Storm Norton, the starting right tackle. He was with the Saints for a while, and they cut him loose. So there were 14, I counted, starting offensive linemen in the NFL that went down to injuries last weekend. 14.
You knew that because you're the guy that did this study or looked back at it, an offensive line in the most injured position, right?
Correct. Tackles, guards, centers, it went 1, 2, 3. And, man, that 14 go down in a spot today, Tommy, that I think is probably has the least amount of depth.
That's what I can say. There aren't that many to go around to begin with, right?
Okay. There's not a guy standing on the side of the road, hey, sign me. I'm good with things. There's a drop-off. And, you know, and we get it. You know, or sign this guy from the Canadian Football League or played in the UFL. Man, that's a big jump from there to the National Football League. And, again, it's like a dance group. Five guys working as one. And if one guy is out of alignment, you spot it quickly, and that's when you get your quarterback kind of clocked in the backfield. And we've seen one thing in the three games Kirk Cousins has played since returning from the Achilles injury. He don't move real well in the pocket.
Yeah, let me take
a break.
If
I'm the Saints, I'm coming after him.
We're going to pick it up right there because Derek Carr, rather, doesn't move a lot either. I don't think either one of these guys could beat you with their legs. We're going to take a break, pick it up here. We come back. We're talking to Mike DeTellier about the Saints-Falcons game. 6:22, traffic now, WWL. 6:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Mike DeTellier, getting ready for the Saints-Falcons showdown in Atlanta, Sunday, high noon. Mike, you know, you're an engineer, right? So you know a lot of math. When it comes to the Saints offensive line, starting center, and another injured offensive lineman, when it comes to the Falcons, starting centers out and other injured offensive linemen. Do these things cancel each other out? Is it like an equation, like a math equation?
Pretty much. You know, and again, everybody's looking for the weakest link in the chain. Mm-hmm. If you're a defensive coordinator, you're looking for that one link, and you go after it, okay, over and over again. You're not going to fix it, okay? It is what it is at this stage. And that's who you have to play with. But, yeah, it pretty much sort of cancels things out when both centers are gone, and then you won't have your starting right guard, and they won't have their starting right tackle. So that's where you're going to go after it. And, again, I go back to Cousins, and his movement skills before the Achilles injury, it wasn't great to begin with. Mm-hmm. But he drifted a little bit left and right, and he'd make the throw. If you give him time.
He doesn't even slide now?
Your parts. What was that?
He doesn't even slide now, you're telling me?
He doesn't slide well now. And I found it funny the Chiefs didn't blitz him more. But I think the Saints try to go after him. Because you got to affect the veteran quarterback. You have to be able to not let him sit in that pocket and throw. And he got some receivers, really good ones, on that Falcons team.
I got some receivers. It seems like every time the Saints play the Falcons, I get tired of hearing this guy Algier name. His name. Algier seems to
hurt him
a
and Bijan.
So we'll
pretty
talk about,
good.
We'll talk about that when we come back, about the Saints contain and run. We'll talk about what the Saints can do on offense. If y'all got any questions, comments, 504-260. Also want to talk about the diminished role of Cam Jordan and what's going on there. And I don't think there's any bad blood between him and the Saints. I think it's about maybe output or whatever. We'll talk about that with Mike Detellier as well when we come back. 504-260-1870 if you have any questions or comments. Tommy Tucker with you on this Friday morning. And don't forget, coming up at 9:40, JR is going to join us with Taking Vegas. We'll give you some weekend winners and try to help you out and make your money go as far as it can. Right now it's time for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Detillier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. Mike, I was talking about Algier before, the Saints, the Falcons running back, and it's amazing with Bijan Robinson as well, and it's amazing how, I don't care if you go through the decades, if you go through the teams, the coaches, these games always come down to a field goal. This is one of the better rivalries in the NFL, isn't it?
It sure is, and I thought about you because Tuesday we do television, Bobby and I, and Rich Morty out in Houma, and we were talking about, you know, kind of growing up for me, like in the 70s, and all those games against Atlanta. And the one thing you've learned about Saints-Falcons games are expect the unexpected.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen some crazy stuff in these games between these two teams, and it has always been close. Now, last year, the final game wasn't, and I think the Falcons, they knew their coach was gone, and it was – and what happened at the end of the game with Jameis and Jamal Williams and all. So there's a lot of stuff and a lot of history with these teams that came into the league 1 year apart. The Saints have a Super Bowl title. The Falcons don't, but they've been to two of them. Mm-hmm. They're sort of mirror images of one another in a lot of ways. So really doesn't change throughout the years. That those games have been unexpected type situations that happen, crazy finishes. And, man, if you over 45 years old, you've seen some crazy stuff in these games.
It ain't over till it's over, I'll tell you that. And, again, with the rare exception, like you talked about last year, but, again, there were some business decisions being made at that point, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
No,
question.
I'm not going to the offseason hurt. Risking my career or just the offseason for a guy that's gone. Absolutely not. Tell me about Raheem Morris and what he's done with the team so far, or how that's going to be different for the Saints this season, this game.
Yeah, Raheem, because before they had Arthur Smith as coach, he was an offensive-oriented coach. Raheem comes in, defensive background, had run the Rams defense for years, had been a head coach with Tampa early in his career. They really didn't help him much there, but he's a guy that you're going to see a lot of different fronts defensively. He gives you a lot of different looks on the defensive side of football. And so that's the one change. They're not getting away from how they built, and that is to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And if I had, you know, Algier and I had Bijan Robinson, I'm not getting away from that either. Despite the fact you got two of your five starting offensive linemen that won't play, you see them try to hit the chunk plays a little bit more. And what's interesting, they do it with Darnell Mooney, the former Tulane wide receiver, mm-hmm. who started out, you know, first with the Bears, became a free agent. Man, Darnell has become a big part of their attack. And if I'm the Falcons, after I saw what the Eagles did to get Dallas Goedert loose, man, I'm pumping the ball to Kyle Pitts. He's healthy now, and the Saints had difficulties last year matching up against the tight ends, and after last week, still got that issue.
I get Bijan Robinson, all right? I get that, and I know he's got a little injury thing he's fighting, but it seems like, man, last couple of years, Tyler Algier, I get tired of seeing this guy when the Saints play him.
Short, stocky guy from BYU. Man, he gives you everything on every play. He's a tough guy, great instinctive runner. He's not the biggest, fastest, strongest, but it's his running instincts and his field vision. He sees the hole, gets into it, and gets out on the back end very quickly as a runner. So Bijan, they use him a lot, too, as a receiver coming out of the backfield. And, you know, they have a new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who also comes in from the Rams. And so you'll see a lot of different sets there with them. But, no matter what it boils down to, running the football, stopping the run. You know, it's old school football with these teams. The Saints want to set up everything in the passing game with play action, but they want to run the ball first. And the Falcons want to do the exact same thing.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk about what's going on with Cam Jordan, and we'll talk about how you see the Saints, what they have to do to beat the Falcons when we come back. Mike Dettelier with us as always on Friday. We'll also take a quick look at LSU as well, playing South Alabama, which shouldn't be much of a challenge. Let's hope not. 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:55, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettelier about the Saints-Falcons game. Our coverage starts 8 o'clock on Sunday. Tyler Algier is 227 yards with a 6.88 yard a carry average against the Saints and one touchdown. So it's not my imagination. He is productive. Mike, tell me what's going on with Cam Jordan.
Tommy, like in anybody in any profession, you stick around long enough, you're not quite as good. Mm-hmm. And for the time, okay, you could be maybe a lawyer or an engineer or in other professions, and a few people see the drop-off, just a few. If you're a professional athlete and you drop off, everybody sees it. And you know it as a player. You really do. And I can recall we had I'd gotten Jim Taylor to do a show a few years back, and like 6 weeks later, Jim passed away. Mm-hmm. And asking about what happened toward the end of his career. And he said, I saw the drop off my final year with Green Bay. And then he played that 1 year with the Saints. And he said, you know, what was maddening was the routine plays that I could make early in my career with the Packers, I couldn't make anymore. But he said, it was really maddening that almost the man upstairs would give you a little bit of lightning in a bottle, and you could do it every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And then, but you couldn't do it play in, play out anymore. And I think you sort of heard Dennis Allen talk about, you know, more snaps for Chase Young, along with Carl Granderson, who is really having a terrific season. And Cam will be part of the rotation. it's difficult because when you look at the totality of his work, not a lot of guys could play the run as well as Cam. He was terrific doing that, and he developed into a really good pass rusher. But Father Time catches you. No matter how, if you stick in this business long enough, it catches you.
Any business.
I think he realizes it.
Any business. Any business.
Any business.
You can't, that's why.
And so we all kind of, if you hang around in a business long enough, it happens to all of us at one time or another. Golf, and so with Cam, he's going to be part of the rotation.
Golf ain't football, and you don't see any 70-year-old golfers. Tell me what we're going to be talking about on Monday. The Saints won because or the Saints lost because?
Ability to affect Kirk Cousins throwing the football. I think stopping the run, you're going to slow him down. But I think the key for the Saints is the ability to affect Kirk Cousins throwing the football. He has had some really good football games against the Saints. It didn't matter when he was with Washington or with the Vikings. He has really played the Saints very well. So I see in the condition he's in today, coming off the Achilles injury, his mobility is not real good. I go after him, okay? You might say, oh, you can't say that. No, this is sports. You go after him. And also, too, you got to win the special teams battle. I think those two elements are going to be there for the Saints to win the special teams battle and to really put a lot of heat on Kirk Cousins and not give him time to throw the football. And with a new center, man, I'm going after the, right up the middle after him.
You think the Saints win?
I think it's really close.
Yeah.
I would bet the under in this game.
Bet the under, or remember, Mike, as Mike Dettillier once told us, you'd always have to bet. You can just watch a game.
Yeah, and then you pull for your team and you don't gamble. But I think this will be a very closely contested contest, and the key is who could affect each other's quarterback pressure-wise.
If there was such a prop bet, I bet it comes down to a field goal. But even then, I wouldn't bet on it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you, Mike.
I wouldn't be surprised. We've seen so many of them like that.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Mike Dettillier. We'll talk about driving under the influence when we come back.